So we'll move on. So we'll start our meeting. It looks like we do have a quorum. Everybody's here except for Matt Dulcich, and he won't be with us this evening, I'm told. My name is Don Saylor, and I'm calling the meeting, the Monday, March 14, 2022 meeting of the Board of the Yolo County Transportation District to order. And this meeting is being held pursuant to Government Code Section 54953. This is a remote meeting. We will have opportunities for public comment, and we'll let that happen as time unfolds. We're going to begin by determining a quorum. So, Autumn, how do you want to do that? You want to call roll or have someone call roll?
Yes.
Let Mimi take the lead. Yeah.
Great.
Okay. City of Woodland?
Present.
City of Davis?
I'm here.
City of West Sacramento?
Here.
City of Winters?
Here.
Yolo County?
Here.
Okay.
Very good. Good to see you all. And we also have our Caltrans ex officio, Greg Wong, is with us this evening. How are you, Greg? Good to see you.
Great. And, thank you, Don.
Good to have you here. And we have also Michael Klein what are you guys called now? Transdev, Veolia? I can't ever keep up.
Transdev.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very good. That's the last time we met. They haven't changed the name since then, so that's good. We're good. So our first item of business is after that is to consider public comment. We've had a couple of little minor changes here. The agenda approval is a part of the consent agenda, and just so we'll streamline our voting process a little bit. If anyone is with us who'd like to address us on items on the consent calendar or on matters not specified on the agenda further on, this would be the opportunity for that. We will take comment on the other items on the agenda after we consider the consent calendar. Is there anyone who'd like to address this board on matters on the consent agenda or matters not otherwise on our agenda this evening?
Yes, Mr. Alan Hirsch is wanting to make a public comment. But before we do go, we did receive a public comment via email from Mr. Alan Hirsch. It came after the deadline, but we will include him in the meeting minutes. And his comment was, he sent some slides that wanted to be presented at the board meeting tonight.
That's great. We won't be seeing slides, so Alan will have an opportunity in public comment to express his comment.
Okay, and then we'll allow Mr. Alan Hirsch to speak.
Okay, and Alan, thank you for joining us, and you have 3 minutes to speak to the board.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Alan.
Very good. I hope you have my slides up.
We've told you, Alan, on several occasions.
You're looking at my slides, please. I hope that's possible. It says that this is possible under the Brown Act. I think it's very important that we consider giving the public access to the dialogue. It's for good government and for good processing. I have my little present called Facing the Facts. We need to acknowledge there's a human factor in terms of fact-finding and making decision-making. And that involves more than just the words, but also involves with showing our faces and showing visuals. Slide 2, if you can pay face to it. Basically, this is from the Yolo County Board of Supervisors handbook. It says basically only 7% of the decision-making process is involved with the actual words. 93% is found with other nonverbal symbols. And the Zoom process basically has cut that out, which means only those people who can show their faces and can show visuals have full access to the board. The other people, according to the Yolo County, the Yolo County Supervisor, have 93% reduced access to the board. And I've made some observations subsequently in slides 3, 4, 5, how this has actually worked out. In fact, on the public hearings process, it might be actually questionable when you give access to some people and not others, the public, whether the public hearing process is actually legit, and it might put you in some legal jeopardy because you don't give everybody equal access to the board, because this is a quasi-judicial process. You can see also that We have also the gallery view. Because of so much nonverbal happening, I gather that the board has access to a gallery view, and the public doesn't always have access to gallery view. So there's nonverbal communication between different board members that the public cannot see. So the gallery view for a meeting should be very important too. Slide number 7, I actually have something from the California League of Cities that basically asks the question in their booklet about open and public on the Brown Act. It says, question, must legislation bodies allow members of the public to show videos or make PowerPoint presentations during the public comment period agendas? And their answer is probably, although the agency doesn't have the obligation to provide equipment. I suggest with Zoom you are providing equipment. And slide 8, I suggest that there's a lot of question about the legitimacy of our elected bodies now with the anti-government entities and basically when you present of constrained public access to the public, you undermine your own legitimacy. And slide number 9, I have some suggestions how you might improve your process involving the public, give the public full access. If you want diversity, everyone should have equal access to the forum of your decision making. I hope these are helpful. I think it's very important that the public be given equal access to your meeting and for fact finding. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Alan. Are there any other public comments requested?
There are no further public comments.
Great. Thank you. So this email that was referenced, Mimi, would you make sure that the members of the board see that?
Absolutely.
Thank you. And that brings us to the item on the consent calendar. Autumn, do you have anything you'd like to remove from the consent calendar?
No, Mr. Chair, I don't.
All right. Is there any member of the board have anything you'd like to remove from the consent agenda? Is there a motion to approve the consent calendar item 3A through F?
Ledesma moves to recommended action.
I will second.
So we have a motion from Ledesma, a second from Lauren. Would you please call the roll, Mimi?
Yes. City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
And Yolo County?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passed unanimously.
Wonderful. And that brings us to item 4, administrative reports. First topic is board member reports on items not otherwise listed. Anybody have anything to share? Okay. Autumn, you want to provide a brief update on the ad hoc committee on the 80 managed lane?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be providing the update on this committee tonight. So the ad hoc committee has met once since your previous board meeting and has also had one additional meeting with Caltrans District 3 and SACOG staff regarding the project. Discussions continue about revising the project description and list of alternatives. Discussions are focused primarily around issues of tolling and the role that tolling may play in the future project. Questions around the Interstate 80 and Interstate 50 connector, the US 50 connector in West Sacramento, and then questions around kind of phasing of various components of the project. So those conversations are underway, are continuing, and we do hope to bring, over the next few months, we hope to come to some clarity and resolution with our partners at Caltrans and SACOG with regard to an updated project description that we will then bring to the board for your consideration. The other issue that we are in conversation about is establishing an MOU between YCTD and Caltrans that would clarify YCTD's roles and responsibilities, particularly with regard to the infra funding, the infra grant, and ensuring that YCTD, as the representative of local jurisdictions here in Yolo County, has a say in the final project. And I'm happy to answer any questions about that. But that's my report.
Thank you. Nice job. Chris, do you have anything to add?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm just on mute by accident.
Okay.
I could add something. I really don't think you're interested, though.
Oh, okay. If you have something that you want to add, please do.
I don't. No. Thanks to Amber for summarizing where we are.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Any questions on this topic from anyone? Okay, let's move to the Transdev report. Michael, you have anything you'd like to share?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm glad to report we actually have 2 in the classroom. We have 17 in behind-the-wheel training. We have 2 cadetting and actually 1 that has graduated in this last week.
Wow.
It's going along really well. The 17 that's in the BTW training, more than half of them should be done with that and have their full license by the end of the month and then go into the route training. And so we have the two I say cadetting, that's the same as its route training. So it's going really well. We're still going forward in a positive for sure.
Okay, very good. Okay, any questions of Michael on operations? Okay, very good. Executive Director's report. Autumn, you've shared that with us. Do you have anything further?
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate that there is a new format for the Executive Director's Report. It's a biweekly email that you'll now see in your inbox. Oh, thanks, Mimi, or Daisy. It's now a biweekly email that you'll see in your inbox on Fridays. And so I'll just limit my comments, and that will also go to the other committees as well, so that both the Citizens Advisory and Technical Advisory Committee and members of the public are able to get that update twice a month. Two other things I'll add that were not in the report that went out on Friday. One is that we are having some internal conversations about how we implement our new personnel policies that were updated in December, particularly with regard to the issue of salary adjustments. The language that was in the personnel policies is very general. And as we are approaching and working on our budget for the next fiscal year, some questions have come up about how specifically those salary adjustments will be made. Obviously, right now, given the high rate of inflation that we see, it's a really important issue for a lot of people. So I wanted to give you a heads up. Those conversations are happening when working with HOPE and the HR staff at the county to help educate me as we navigate through. I do anticipate bringing some action to you in April to clarify our personnel policies with regard to salary adjustments, to provide some clarity and certainty and direction for me and the staff as we move forward with implementing those. And then the second thing I just wanted to mention is that we had a very productive Citizens Advisory Committee meeting last week. You'll see the notes from that committee meeting in your next packet. They didn't quite make it into this packet. It was just the night before the board packet went out. But at that meeting, there was a great conversation about how the CAC and board can have more engagement and how the CAC can make sure their voices are heard at the board. There was no action that was taken at that meeting. We're going to continue the conversation at the next meeting, but I wanted to let you know that conversation is happening. And then the second issue we talked about that I thought was important as part of that was around how do we diversify the Citizens Advisory Committee and have it really be more representative and reflective of the diversity of our transit riders themselves. So additional thoughts and I think conversation on that to come. And that is it for my oral report.
Very good. Let's go to long range calendar. That's a new item on our regular standing board agendas. Would you like to describe what you're presenting to us here?
Yes. Yeah, so in the full board packet, you'll see that we included a long range calendar for the remainder of 2022 and also part of 2023. And this is meant to be a planning calendar as we develop agenda topics. And here you'll see the calendar for the next 3 months. And as you take a moment to review the upcoming topics, for the next 3 months, just let us know if you have any questions or feedback.
And I would just add that this is meant to be a living document and very much a work in progress. And so, as much as possible, we want to try to give you a heads up of what's coming, but also want to, you know, hear your feedback and pivot as the issues emerge.
Thanks, Autumn and Mimi. Tom, you have a comment or question?
Mr. Chair and members, I just wanted to mention that I had coffee this morning with Molly DiAgostino. We recently appointed her as Woodland's representative to the Citizens Advisory Committee. And I just want to share with you how impressed I was with Ms. DiAgostino. She's associated with the Institute for Transportation Studies at UC Davis and also the Institute for Policy Research, I believe it's called down there. She's very concerned about the future of transportation in our region. And I'm just so grateful that we were able to acquire her assistance with our Citizen Advisory Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Great. Thank you, Tom. Jesse?
Yeah, thank you so much for taking my comment. I was looking for an update on the Woodland micro transit system, and I was just wondering if we could hear, maybe it seems like June's a long way away. Maybe it's just the way this year is rolling out, but I was hoping to get an update a little bit sooner. And the other thing I wanted to comment on is the website looks so fantastic. It looks so rider friendly. It looks interactive and accessible. And I just wanted to compliment the whole team on the work that was done on the website. Bravo.
Thank you, Jesse. Good points. Autumn, do you want to respond to the question about the timing? Or do you want to just say we'll look at that again with the chair, vice chair, and you?
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll take a look at that and make sure we're keeping you updated for sure.
I just like to comment. I really appreciate the long range calendar. It allows a comment like the one Jesse just made to have some meat to it. It allows us to look ahead. It's a planning tool, one that we haven't had routinely. And I think it will allow our board to be more transparent with each other and with the public as well. So thank you for doing that. I look forward to it. Are there any other board questions on this, on the items listed under administrative reports, questions or comments? Are there any members of the public who have a question, have a comment on the administrative reports?
Yes, Mr. Alan Hirsch has a comment.
Very good. Alan, are you still there? You go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
And you have 3 minutes, Alan.
Couple for a long range calendar. 3 minutes. Thank you very much. Because it says 2 minutes on the agenda, I thought somewhere. Okay. You had your wonderful workshop in January about the I-80 project, and there wasn't any discussion about the induced demand element, which is the most problematical part of that project. And Lucas made a comment that we need to dig into that. I think you guys should have a discussion about what that implication is in terms of climate change, because if you're in increased traffic across the causeway and through Cielo County, that's the wrong direction on climate change. And I think we need to struggle with that. We also know that basically when you widen the freeway, it just gets congested again. So widening freeways does not resolve congestion. It just basically just buys a little time until it congests again. So I think I really urge you, we should not wait. You should have a robust discussion about the real implications of the induced demand phenomena, which is an inconvenient truth. The second is, I hope you'll include more information about the I-80 ad hoc committee. All those documents are public. I would like you to make that more visibility of what's going on there. Please, I'd be glad to do a public records request to get all those documents, but I think you should be more proactive on that. And the other thing, it's wonderful you're changing the website, but when you change addresses of documents, legacy documents, if people have referenced their old documents with the website, if those document addresses change, then all the links and other outside documents change. So be careful about changing email addresses and locations and website addresses of legacy documents. Thank you very much for your hard work. The changes are wonderful at the agency. I'm just giving you an outside perspective for a little diversity. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Alan. This brings us to our next item. Well, is there any other public comment? I want to make sure I didn't miss somebody.
There's no further public comments.
Very good. So that brings us to item 5. We're resuming suspended express routes. And this would be Jose, I think, is going to be leading this one.
Yes, thank you, Chair Saylor. I'll be introducing the item, and we'll be assisted by Daisy Romero, our district's assistant planner. So this item, we're actually very excited and very happy to be bringing forward for the board's consideration, resumption of some suspended express services. So this item, we are presenting again, board approval to resume some limited express service that was suspended earlier in September of 2021 due to a driver operator shortage. In addition, this item is also requesting the approval to conclude the temporary assistance of the L-Line service that was being provided locally in the city of Davis. Next slide. So, again, the specific recommendation is for the limited resumption of express routes 43 reverse, that's what the R stands for, 45, and routes 230. Those routes connect the city of Davis and Sacramento, as well as the city of Woodland and Sacramento. Each of these four routes would resume one trip in the morning peak AM and in the afternoon peak PM. Staff took in hand and reviewed pre and current in COVID ridership and demand levels. And so we are resuming the services that were suspended in September with the same route path as schedules as pre-suspension. The conclusion of YOLO buses temporary assistance in Davis of the L line will also take into effect at the same time with an effective date of April 3rd. But our district will continue assistance of the A line at 30-minute frequency through June 9th, 2022, which coincides with the end of the spring academic quarter. Next slide. I think Daisy will provide a little bit of updates on the background of this item.
Mm-hmm. So as if you guys can recall, on September 20th, you guys made the very difficult decision to temporarily suspend our express routes, and that included Route 43, 43R, 4230. And this was due to staffing shortages as well as low ridership due to COVID. At that same board meeting, we also voted on providing temporary assistance for the A and the L lines for Unitrans in the city of Davis. We had a 30-minute frequency on the A line as well as a 60-minute frequency on the L line. There were other options that were considered when bringing back some of these decisions, but unfortunately they were deemed infeasible or low priority. Some of those include expanding the 42, returning some of those reduced trips, and also returning some of the local Woodland routes that were suspended as well, the 210 and the 214. We used the tool that was approved by you guys as well, called the prioritization tool. This is a tool that we use to run all of our potential service changes and determine what we think would be the best option moving forward with any service changes. And when we ran this tool, we saw that the express routes were the ones that performed the best. And next slide, please. And then, as Autumn said, we had a great Citizens Advisory Committee this past week. During this meeting, they provided us some great feedback. A lot of it was related to questions regarding if we had considered other services that we had to suspend, or a couple of trips that we had to suspend because of COVID or low ridership. We did come back and run some of those service changes through the prioritization tool as well. They also wanted us to update some of the definitions and the point schemes in the tool to make it a little bit more clear for the public as well as our members. Modifying some of the weighing factors. So maybe some of the questions would be weighed a little bit more versus other questions. But again, this is a tool that we're going to continue to refine based on your guys' feedback. It's a living document. So, you know, we hope to keep improving it. Next slide, please.
And again, as Daisy mentioned, we use the transit service prioritization tool for this recommendation, primarily to identify if there was a need or a cause to provide more trips on any of the specific resumed services. In other words, we had sufficient reliable operators to be able to implement up to four trips, four in the AM peak, four in the PM peak. And so we use this tool to determine, does it make sense to add multiple trips on any one of these routes? And further exclude or further unsuspend or keep suspended any of the others when we utilize this tool against comparing again the feasible services that we can operate all four of the potential routes weighted equally. And so we felt that the best course of action at this time was to recommend that one trip of each of these services be provided to try and broaden the usefulness, the utility, the effectiveness of the services. As part of our outreach implementation, we have some planned efforts, including electronic posting, social media, updating our website. But we also are very cognizant of that digital divide that we've been trying to maintain and manage throughout the pandemic. And so we have some hard copy flyers that will be provided inside the vehicles, physical signage at the stops, letting folks know of the resumption, albeit limited, of these express services. And we also intended to send a direct mail and text alerts to customers who registered for our email and the SMS text system databases. We also are going to continue to work with our local and regional partners to distribute the information and ask for their support in helping us spread the word. Because again, this is hopefully the first steps of many of reintroducing and bringing back services and making them better. Next slide. So in calculating the budget impact, we estimated the cost through the end of the current fiscal year to be approximately close to $120,000. It's really going to vary a little bit on current fueling prices, but this is based on our average cost per hour that we have for the fixed routes in pandemic before the suspensions, as well as the number of remaining operating days, 64 through the end of the fiscal year. So with that, we'd be happy to clarify any of the items presented tonight in the staff report. Or any other questions that may come up. Thank you.
Thank you, Jose and Daisy. Appreciate your presentation. And it's good to be in a position where we can start restoring some of the services that we lost. Before we go to public comment, are there any questions from members of the board? I don't see any questions. Do we have any requests for public comment?
We do not have requests for public comment.
Very good. Are we ready for a motion or any discussion requested from the members of the board? Okay.
I'm happy to make a motion. I've just had my hand raised, so I didn't want to speak out of turn. I'm happy to make a motion, but also just a quick comments, I guess, too. I'm just, likewise, really grateful to be in a spot where we're able to start to restore some of these services, especially the express services. I think that there is definitely, it's incremental, certainly, but there's definitely a sort of returning to normal, especially as it relates to folks working in downtown Sacramento. It's starting to come back. So not anything like it used to be, but it's definitely is. So I think that we really need to try to sort of move forward on this. I also think because of this issue, I think Jose touched on it, but appreciate the work by Daisy and Jose on this. I think that the high gas prices, we saw this in the Great Recession previously, 10 years ago, roughly 10 years ago, when the gas prices were, sort of really peaked, we saw ridership climb. So we can only hope that that will happen, but we can only hope that will happen if we have actual service in which people to abandon their single use vehicles for possible transit options. So I'm glad we're at a point where we can start to resume some of these express bus services, especially. Thank you.
Very good.
Stellar respectfully seconds the motion.
Very good. So we have a motion from Ferrix, a second from Stellar. Is there any further discussion? I don't see any. So Mimi, are you still with? Yeah, you are. Would you like to call a roll, please?
Yes. City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
And Yolo County?
Aye.
Okay, motion passing unanimously.
Very good. Thank you, Jose and Daisy and Michael, for your efforts to bolster our resources. So that brings us to item 6, which is the general reserve policy.
Again, Mr. Chair, I'll start, and then I'm going to hand it over to Leo Levinson with Regional Governance Services, who's been serving as our interim Deputy Director of Finance. Before we do, I just wanted to quickly note, Councilman Ferrick's comment regarding fuel prices and ridership made me realize as we restructured the agenda for tonight, we lost our ridership report. And so I want to apologize for excluding that, and we'll make sure we bring that back into the as part of the administrative reports going forward. But this item, item 6, the general reserve policy, is to formally establish a reserve policy for YCTD. And this is an important a stepping stone or building block, if you will, as we're moving towards our new budget for 2022-23. And I'm going to hand it over to Leo Levinson, who's been assisting us with this effort. Over to you, Leo.
Hey, thank you, Autumn. And thank you, Board. So this is, I think, pretty straightforward that all of your jurisdictions actually already have reserve policies, but YCTD did not yet have a formal policy. We discussed last month when the draft policy was presented to you and mentioned that there's a a general best practice recommendation of a minimum of 2 months of operating expenditures. I think the idea is to give time for staff to develop a more long-term way to accommodate whatever changes have happened. And that a minimum of 2 months sort of gives that breathing room to figure out what to do when there's a sudden loss of revenue or unanticipated major expenditures. But that's really just a floor as to a recommended reserve policy. Many organizations are in a position to and choose to have a larger cushion so that they have more time in order to adapt. And so we heard some comment last month that there might be a desire for more than just 2 months. And so this proposed policy as written would set a target equivalent to 3 months of the operating budget, or 25%. And so in the current year, that would equal $4.1 million. Drawing down on the reserve would require a 4/5 vote of the board. And the executive director or designee would report on the status of the general reserve during budget development to say whether the district can afford to keep it fully funded or if there's a problem and it requires a change in operations in order to do that. And so that would be the check going forward as to how the reserve is doing. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, Mr. Frerix, you have your hand raised for a question.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Leo, thanks so much for the presentation and appreciate that sort of adjustment from the last discussion we had about sort of the amount of time the cushion of, safety cushion, so to speak, of I think that is a good, important change. I have a quick question sort of as it relates to the staff report. Sort of there's a not major one, but a bit of a discrepancy in the staff report. So, I mean, on page just when you're in the slide you had there, it said, again, 4/5 vote of the board, which, and that also tracks with what's, I think, on page 40 of the staff report. But on page 39, it talks about the general reserve only being authorized by a resolution approved by 2/3 of the board of directors. So, I mean, 4 out of 5 is 80%, 3 out of 5 is 60%. I don't know how we get to 2/3 per se. So I just think that I would say personally, the issue of, 80%, have a threshold of 80% is a very high threshold. And almost not many other circumstances do we sort of see those types of thresholds exist in approval of budgets and things of that nature, even in potential, unless I'm totally mistaken. I do think, a potential of, I know we're a smaller board of only 5, but I do think a 60% threshold, frankly, could be suitable. It's still well over a majority. I get that that's 1 member versus, 3 members versus 4 members, but I just want to raise that issue. It's something I think is important for us to have a discussion about.
That is a good catch about the staff report, and I apologize for that. It was originally written with 2/3 as a generic number, but in being reviewed together with Hope, we realized, I guess, that 2/3 was sort of a confusing number with a 5-member board. And so it does make sense to either be 3/5 or 4/5 and make it explicit as to, and that's really a board policy decision as to how you feel about the seriousness of deciding to dip into reserves.
So you're,
I'm if sorry. I may add, Chair Saylor, part of the reason too with the 4/5 is the 3/5 is your standard majority. So if the board feels like your normal voting practices should also apply to using the reserves, that's fine. It can certainly be a 3/5 vote. Given the levity and the seriousness of the decision and following the practices that we do see at the County Board of Supervisors with 5 members, I suggested that we present tonight a 4/5 vote requirement.
Well, Hope, let me ask you a question since you referred to the County Budget Act. I think that it's the case that the budget itself, including this matter, would be a 3/5 vote. But if in the course of the year after the budget's adopted, there's a change, then you require a 4/5 vote. So is that accurate?
As far as I remember, Supervisor Saylor, I have not looked at the County Budget Act in some time. Leo shaking his head yes, so I'm going to agree completely with Leo. He knows his business. And that's true as well. So those resolutions would be mid-year changes, the ones in these policies. And so the board would be able to approve the budget, all other, really all other matters other than touching the reserve by a 3/5 vote.
Or so if it was done as a part of the budget, then it would be a simple majority vote. Mm-hmm. But if it's done in the middle of the year sometime, then it would, is that the proposal? That it would require 4/5 middle of the year, but if the budget, it could be 3/5. I don't know. I'm asking questions.
That's how I understood it. But I would defer to Autumn and Leo about how they would like to use the policy.
My take on this is that the way the language is written, it's drawing down the funds would be authorized by a resolution. So from my perspective, that is out of step. That is not part of the regular budget approval process.
Okay.
I do think that it would make sense to have an amendment to make that crystal clear, because clearly it's ambiguous the way it's written. And so it would be easy to amend the language to track with Yolo County's language.
I want to make sure that Tom and Chris have their hands up. So let me go. I think Tom was first and then Chris.
Chris, I don't really know, but I'll just say that I like the idea that we don't touch that reserve easily. We have to think about it. But at the same time, I think it should be on a majority vote. And the reason for that is the option for not invading the reserve is to force reductions in expenditures. And I'm not sure it's right that one member of the board should be able to force reduction in expenditures as an alternative to utilization of reserve funds. So I would be happy just retaining a majority vote on this matter.
Tom, Chris, what's your thought?
Well, I think it's similar in the sense of what if we can't get a 4/5, right? And it would be, there's no other budget mechanism to carry a deficit, right? There's just none. So it would, I think that's what you're saying, Tom, is that by not getting a 4/5, someone could force your hand, or, you know, if there's some holdout versus a simple majority being able to pass it. And not go into an automatic cut, because those are two, in my mind, those are two separate actions. So, so anyway, that I was getting the same place, Tom. So thank you for clarifying that.
Okay.
And if I can go, it's irrelevant. I think I'm supportive of the majority. I think Lucas was there as well, kind of giving it. It's just, and again, we're not the federal government that could carry a deficit and, you know, somebody,
How about a continuing resolution, Chris?
Yeah, I've had that one before.
Jesse, did you have any comment on this? Okay, so I think we're getting a sense that we take it all very seriously and want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, but that we think that 3/5 vote is probably sufficient at either at budget or in some emergency situation.
If I could just seek out a clarification on that, Chair Saylor, would you rather us say just a majority of those present at the meeting versus a specific vote count? I'm just trying to hypothesize. If you say 3/5, then you have an absence. I just want to make sure it's useful to this board and we don't run into attendance issues.
Well, don't we need 3 votes to do anything, even if we have? Unless there are 2 absences and there are 2, if there were 3 people present, then is that what you're saying?
Right, which majority, is why if we say majority vote, it would address that issue.
Okay. Lucas, do you have a comment?
Well, only, a clarification, which is, I'm not sure we want to have it as minimum as only majority is only of those present, a majority of those present. So we get in a situation where we have 3 people show up, and 2 people can then, vote to move forward in the reserves. That doesn't seem particularly, that seems almost as not as good as the 4/5 supermajority requirement. So it seems like we would want to have, a majority of the board, right? Not just those present, but the majority of out of 5, I think would be important. So at least a minimum of 3 would be my guess on any time there's a vote taken to utilize reserves. And really appreciate Director Stallard's and others have said it too, but this issue of like, we take the role response, you know, very seriously. I mean, and obviously we have to plan for the future boards that, you know, may not have, take the role as seriously, I guess. But I mean, you know, no one is going to look to sort of just like, all right, we just a majority vote. We can go spend those reserves now.
Cheers.
Yeah.
In the hopes of a potential motion, would the board be comfortable with language that states could only be authorized by a resolution approved by 3 members of the YCTD board of directors?
Well, probably at least 3, I think.
At least 3?
Yeah.
Minimum vote threshold for 3/5. Which
we have. Okay. I'm just trying not to enjoy it and include the 3/5, just because it's more, if there were only 4 of you there, I don't want to imply that you couldn't still take action. It's just my own preference for absolute clarity when these things can happen.
So it's going to take 3 votes of the 5 member board.
Yep, exactly.
All right. Is there any further question or comment from the board before I ask if there's public comment on this topic? I do have one slightly related, and that is there are multiple elements of a reserve policy. This one is about the percentage of our operating budget that we identify as reserve. There are also policies about how you would use the reserve, and there could be further review in the future about our contingencies and reserves with a little bit more meat on it. I think this is a major threshold and a major achievement. I think that there may be some additional work to be done on what the reserve can be used for and under what circumstance. And that would be an additional piece of policy work that we can do in the fullness of time. I want to open to public comment. Is there anybody in the public who'd like to address us on the proposed reserve policy?
There are no public comments.
Very good. Is there anyone who'd like to make a motion to capture the sense of the board?
I'm happy to offer a motion that we adopt the policies recommended by staff with the change that the majority consisting of at least 3 members of the board will be necessary to utilize reserve funds.
Thank you. Is there a second?
Lauren will second the item.
So Director Lauren second. So Stollard moves and Lauren seconds. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Now, Mimi, would you please call roll?
Yes. City of Woodland?
Aye.
City of Davis?
Aye.
City of West Sacramento?
Aye.
City of Winters?
Aye.
And Yolo County?
Aye. Good job, everybody. Yes. Well, we've reached that time where it says it's time to adjourn. Is there any reason we shouldn't? No, it looks like we are. Oh, and here we go. For a minute, I thought you'd all disappear. So looks like the next meeting will be April 11. We will determine how we can proceed safely when that time comes. So thank you, everybody. Wonderful meeting. Good job. Well done. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Night.
Good night.